Well, we had the privilege today of sharing in a meal together, but I think after today, I'm ready to take a break from eating for a few days. I don't know. I kind of enjoy being hungry more than I enjoy having a full belly sometimes. At least when you're hungry, you know the pain, but when you're full, you're just thinking, when is the pain going to go away? We had the privilege of sharing together with that meal, but then afterwards, Lindsay's parents came over and they surprised us with a visit and wanted to take me out for a late birthday dinner. And so it's like, okay, how do you not eat? And so we ended up going. They wanted to go to Golden Corral, and I said, no, I'm not interested in Golden Corral. We ended up going to Fresh Country Kitchen. You know, every time I'm usually in there, I see Pat. So Pat and Lonnie, so you weren't there today. But the power went out while we were there. The power went out. The storm blew in. It blew one of the rafters off of the side of the building. Did some damage at the car on a car, and then the porch, some of the umbrellas were blown over. So that was a pretty heavy storm, pretty sudden and pretty crazy. But I hope I'm glad to see everybody made it through the storm. I was glad to see we got some rain. I just don't really need the extreme weather to go with it. Tonight we're going to be in Galatians chapter 3. And this is a particular passage that Paul is writing to the church of Galatians that I think we should give more attention to, because it helps us understand some things. First, I believe it helps us understand what role the law still plays in our relationship with God. So often there are two schools of thoughts with the law, that the law is still in place, and then there's a school of thought that the law is just simply nothing. Well, let's see what Paul has to say with this, and starting with verse 15. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you for the wonderful blessings that we have because of what you have done. We ask, dear Lord, as we come to this time to reflect and to read your scripture, may our hearts be open to what you have to say and what we can see through it all. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. So Galatians chapter 3, verse 15 says, brethren, I speak in terms of human relations. Even though it is only a man's covenant, yet when it has been ratified, no one sets it aside or adds conditions to it. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say, and to seeds, as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is Christ. So, Paul is alluding back to the promise that was made between God and Abraham. God said, through your seed, meaning one, I will bless many, all nations. And so, what Paul is saying right here is when you look at the law comes after the promise. The promise is already in place. The law comes in. Let's get into that in just a second. For if the inheritance is based on law, it is no longer based on a promise. But God has granted it to Abraham by means of a promise. Why the law then? It was added because of transgressions, having been ordained through angels by the agency of a mediator, until the seed would come to whom the promise had been made. Now a mediator is not for one party only, whereas God is only one. Is the law then contrary to the promise of God? May it never be. For if a law had been given which was able to impart life, then righteousness would indeed have been based on law. But the scripture has shut up everyone under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. So, interesting passage of the scripture, isn't it? When you really think about what Paul is saying here, and he uses a lot of terminologies in talking about inheritance and the role in which we are now joint heirs to what has been promised to Christ. And what has been promised to Christ? Well, you go back to the promise that was to Abraham. Through the seed, meaning one, I will bless many nations. Now, why did the law come into play? Why did God give the people the law? Because God knows people. God knows our hearts. God knows where we come from. We need rules. When there's no rules, what happens? Anarchy prevails. You know, there's been a series of movies that I can't even understand to comprehend, these movies that have been coming out lately. But this one particular movie series is called The Purge. You heard of it? Well, it's a movie series that the whole premise of this is, for one night, there is no law. For one night of the year, there is no law. There's no law enforcement. The police are shut down. You can do whatever you want, and you will not be charged with a crime for that one evening. So people run around with these masks, and they decorate themselves up, and they kill each other. The whole premise of the movie is really murder. And getting away with murder. And yes, it is a very popular movie, right? A very popular movie series. We may not know about it here, but I guarantee you, if you ask somebody out on the street, hey, what's the movie The Purge about? They could give you a script about it. Why do I say that? Because that's what people are feeding on in our society, is those ideas. And so in these ideas, it's a world filled with just basically anarchy. And so people run around killing each other, stealing from each other, getting away with whatever crimes they wanted to get away with for that one night. Now, I just give you a synopsis of it. I haven't even seen the movie. I just have read the content of it and give you that. Give you an idea of what I've read about it. We need rules, don't we? How many of you, when you were raising your children, said, well, you know what, we're just going to have a free-reign life? Have you heard that terminology yet today, these days, lately? Free-range parenting has become a trend. Free-range parenting means the kids make the rules. And the kids do what they want to do. Now, it has gained a lot of attention among the authority, because people, the police have had to step in and tell parents, you need to have rules for your children to live by. Your children cannot wander the streets at 5 years old alone. It's just not safe. So there's rules. We have, when you're small, you learn from rules that are put in your life. And rules are a way in which we show how much we care about someone. See how God demonstrates his love for mankind when we look at the rules? Have you ever looked at the love that is in place when you look at the Ten Commandments? Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love, and then, you know, Jesus summarized it, love your neighbor as yourself. These two summarize the law and the prophets. But then when you actually look at the Ten Commandments, have no other God. Do not use the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day. Have no false idols. Those first few rules are about our relationship with God. And if our relationship with God is well established and we keep that relationship with God firmly implanted in our hearts and our minds, the rest of the rules on the Ten Commandments are pretty easy to follow. Honor your parents. Honor your father and mother so it may go well with you in the land. What does that mean? Well, I like that one if you really think about that one. When you have a troubled kid that's always causing trouble for their parents, do they grow up good? Not all the time. Most of the time, they have a few run-ins. They have a few problems with society in the future. We learn from the relationship the child has with the parent how they're going to be in a society that we live in, because their parents are the first authority figures in their life. And it's through your relationship with your parents that we learn how to respect authority. If you don't have a good relationship with your parents, a lot of times the authority in your life becomes a challenge later on. Now, there are some exceptions to that, because children, adults grow up and they make decisions of their own. And they, as they get older and they make decisions of their own, they have to live with the consequences of their decisions. And sometimes it's harder to live with the consequences of your actions than to just simply let them go. See, God shows us his love for us through giving us the law. Because transgressions were here. We were transgressing between our relationship with God and the relationship between man. When before Abram became Abraham, he was traveling, and in his travels, many times he would tell his wife, hey, you are my sister. You're not my wife. Why did he do that? Because he was afraid that the people that he was traveling among would see the beauty of his wife, and that would become a threat to him. He was afraid that someone that they were traveling among would covet his wife and then conspire to murder him to take his wife. How many of those laws would have been, how many of those Ten Commandments would have been broken? Right there. Covet your neighbor's wife. That's in the Ten Commandments, isn't it? Adultery. That's in the Ten Commandments. Murder. That's in the Ten Commandments. So he told his wife to protect himself, we're gonna have to abide by the rules of the land and understand that these people might kill me just for your beauty, just so that they could have you. So God, in his wisdom, later on, what does he do? He provides the law to Israel. Do not covet your neighbor's wife. Do not commit adultery. And do not murder. The laws weren't in place when Abraham was alive. Nothing to protect him. But you see in this, God knows the heart of mankind. And God knows who we are. And he provides the law for us to have a guide, a tutor. What's a tutor? A tutor is a person who comes alongside to help lead you through understanding. It's not the actual teacher, and it's not a substitute. So often you hear the term substitute. I used to do substitute teaching, and I enjoyed it because I've always been kind of an intimidating fella, and all I have to do is say, I'm Mr. Slaymaker, and as soon as I say my name, I get some pretty interesting attention. Man, you have a cool, among young, the kids, that they would always say, oh man, you have a good game name. What? And they would talk about how my name would work so well as a video game handle, and I'm thinking, don't have the time, and I don't want the time, because I've seen a lot of people addicted to those games. Now it's a business. Now it's considered a sport. ESPN has video game tournaments. Where are we going with this society? Anyway, we look at these. We look at how God loves us. And he has provided the tutor to help us understand who he is. To come alongside of us to understand God. Do you understand God when you look at the law? I do. Because I see how much God knows me and how much he knows of me. And it goes without saying when Jesus refers to the fact that God knows every single hair on my head. He knows my every thought. He knows me so deep. He knows his creation so well that he provided a way in which we could see him more clearly. Now, so often we get lost in language sometimes. Verse 26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. That means ladies too. You know, we could translate this verse as children, but we have to understand what Paul is saying. He's talking about an inheritance. In that day and time, an inheritance didn't go to a woman. It went to the man. Even if there was no man, you go back to the Old Testament when the people had taken the land, there was a concern because one of the tribes, there was only women in the tribe, and so they were going to lose the inheritance. That was the land that was their inheritance, and so they had to make special circumstances so that that tribe could keep their inheritance. Because the inheritance always went to the man. So we can translate this as children and be comfortable with that translation. Paul is not being a male chauvinist. He's simply stating that we are sons that are destined for an inheritance because of what Christ has done. It's the same language that we get to in the book of Revelation. When men and women are referred to as the bride of Christ. How can a man be a bride? It can't happen. But what he's seeing there is that Christ has love for his church, the same love a man has for his bride. And he has set us apart. So we are destined for an inheritance because of what Christ has done. Verse 27 pulls into the conversation again. You see so often in the New Testament the reference to baptism. And Paul here talks about, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. The significance of baptism is so important to God, into Paul in his teaching. He wants us to understand how important baptism is, that he includes in just about every single letter to the church. Just about every church has something to talk about baptism. Why? Because it's a non-conversation for him. You do it. You don't ask, do you have to do it? You don't ask, why do I have to be baptized? You just do it. It was so easy for the church, for the first century church, to understand that when Philip comes to the Ethiopian eunuch, as soon as the Ethiopian eunuch sees there's water, he just simply says, hey, look, there's water. What prevents me from being baptized? And Philip leads him down and he's baptized. No hesitation. No, Philip, do I really have to do that? No. He wanted to do that. The interesting part, we don't even see in that conversation of a mention by Philip for the Ethiopian eunuch to be baptized. It was just drawn into the conversation by the Ethiopian eunuch. But then, in verses 28 through 29, when we look at the fullness of the promise that has been given to us, we have a new identity. And that identity is in Christ. And he says this very clear. And he says there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free man. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendant, heirs according to the promise. You see, this is the passage of Scripture that I have a problem with some of the TV evangelists. There's one particular evangelist that for many years he had in his teachings that it was pointless for Christians to evangelize Jews because the Jews were under a different covenant. They were under the covenant of the law. And to that I say, read your Bible. Because Paul makes it very clear right here. There was a covenant in place before the covenant of the law. And that covenant was a covenant between God and Abraham and the seed that was to come from Abraham, meaning Christ Jesus. The seed of Abraham was Christ. It was a seed of faith. And because of that seed, we are now descendants of Abraham. Not by heritage, not by the fact that we were born Jews, but because of our faith in Christ Jesus. Because of the covenant that was made between God and Abraham that was in place before the law. That promise was a promise that was a guarantee. Before the law even came into consideration. And then Paul tells us why the law was put in place. We needed it to guide us, to prepare us for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, to understand that we can't measure up to God's standards on our own. There is nothing we can do. As the prophets write, all our good deeds are nothing more than filthy rags before the Lord. There's no way to earn good standing with God. We need faith in a promise that's in place. And that faith is in Christ Jesus. That promise was a promise given to Abraham before the law. So is the law important? Yes, it's important. Because through the law, we see God leading us to a new understanding of who we're called to be. We know that we shouldn't kill each other. We know we shouldn't lie to each other. We know we shouldn't steal from each other. We know we shouldn't covet from each other. We know we shouldn't commit adultery. We know that we should not have false gods. We know a lot of details of who we're supposed to be. We also see how we don't measure up and that we need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ, who came in the fullness of the promise, came to deliver us from our transgression. He saw, God saw in all his glory the creation that was lost. And he came and redeemed it through Christ. And now we have a new identity. We're neither Greek nor Jew nor Christian. We're followers of Jesus Christ. We're called to be different. We're called to live among this nation as lights, as examples to God's glory. We're called to be like Christ in a fallen world. This evening, I ask this one question. Are you different? Does the world see Christ in you? Does the world know Christ through you? That's the only way they're going to get to heaven, is if they know Jesus Christ. Can they see it? And can they know him in you? And through your example. Heavenly Father,